When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We're lifelong Lions fans. Bob!
All right, let's go, Lions fans. The Jared Goff era has begun.
Connor!
Hey, let's bite some kneecaps. Detroit versus everybody, baby.
UJ!
A new era in Detroit has begun, people. So get on the train or get left behind.
Rud Dog!
This is going to be an unprecedented era of Detroit Lions respect.
Man, I'm Big Z. It's a new era of Detroit Lions football. It's going to be one hell of a season. We'll be drinking the blue Kool-Aid with Dan Campbell all year long. Predictions, thoughts, reactions, everything we got to hear. Sit back, relax, and grab your Kool-Aid, fans.
First victory of the year on the line. Goff's got it. Back, looks, throws, and
yes!
Caught! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! They did it! Amon-Ra St. Brown in the receiving end! Oh, they're rushing the field! They've done it! Three zeros on the clock! This game is over! It's over!
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back! We are back, baby! Woo! Detroit is back in general. Let's go. Lions with a 29-27 victory on the last play of the game over the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
1-10-1.
Whoa.
Let's freaking go.
Last play of the game, a touchdown pass to Amon-Ra St. Brown, who had 10 catches, 86 yards, and a touchdown. We're going to get into all of that, but before we do, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew. So I'm Big Z, and then we got Connor.
Go Lions, baby.
And we got Bob.
Hello there.
Then Rud Dog.
Yo!
And last but not least, UJ.
I'm so happy.
All right, gentlemen, let's get down to, we are just so overjoyed with the results.
Oh, yeah.
Of the game.
So happy.
It's something different to talk about.
I'm so happy.
It's not the same story. The Lions scored over 20 points for the second time this year. And look what happened. We won when we scored 20 points in a game.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's like scoring more points than your opponent is a good thing.
It's amazing when you have a number one receiver.
How much confidence did you guys have in Jared Goff to go down and win this game of the Lions?
1,000%.
No, 1,000%. Yeah.
That's not true.
I had somewhere around 10.
We'll see.
I had like 60.
I think I had in my pregame predictions that he would lead a drive, so I had my confidence.
Maybe 65.
After the game he had, I had a higher confidence than I would have. If you had told me before today that he had a chance to win the game, I would have been like 10%. But after his game, I'd say 60.
I think I was all ready to beat the dog, throw something through the window. Yeah.
Poor dog.
UJ is
wow.
He's friends with Michael Vick. You didn't know that, did you?
Some dark stuff.
Yeah, what the
heck? This
was definitely Jared Goff's best game of the season.
It's Lions career.
You can throw out a couple throws, like the back shoulder throw to Brock Wright up the seam for a touchdown.
That was nice.
I think his best throw was to T.J. Hockenson in the triple coverage. He just threaded the needle right there, and a great catch by Hock.
They got the targeting one?
Yeah,
that was awesome. Yeah.
But that was a great throw. That was a throw that we'd see. I got a Stafford, just saying screw it, I'm gonna throw it right in here inside the arm strength.
I mean, you just saw his confidence
with Jared Goff in terms of his pocket presence.
He was confident.
His pocket presence so bad.
Yeah, but even his pocket presence, a couple times he did was a little smoother. Like there was one where he had two guys coming right at him. We did like a nifty little sidestep, and then one dude, they took each other out, and he kind of kept the play alive and ran for like a yard. And I was like, wow, he actually looks confident finally in the pocket. Like he doesn't, his movements aren't jittery. And I'm not saying that was all game. He wasn't perfect, obviously, but he showed signs of what he could be, what I believe he could be anyway. So I was excited with that performance.
It has to be a clean pocket for him to be successful. Still,
it helps. It certainly helps.
But what it is, he spreads the ball up.
He did.
And Sewall continues to just dominate. Like
he's stud.
He's highly graded in every game. Like he's a rock now.
I mean, I'm not mad we didn't get Chase Young anymore. Like, freaking Penny Sewell is the super stud.
Yeah, he's one of our best offensive players, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean,
and him and Decker.
Yeah, I mean, this is an all-around. I mean, this finally the offense woke up. It got off to a slow start still, and then really woke up in the second quarter.
Yeah, that weird malfunction sack they gave up in the first drive, was it? When
right,
like he just came off free off the edge. That was bad.
I mean, but Goff just it's fine. It was just refreshing to see like downfield passes and even in tight coverage. Yeah. Like, hey, good things could happen.
Yeah, there's what he can catch. Had a couple good looks today. There is some good deep balls.
You know, I'll tell you what though. It may not be obvious on the stat sheet, but Reynolds opens up this offense. He was the missing piece to this offense. Not like him necessarily personally, but the type of player that can hold down a number one receiver spot and do what that needs to be done to complete the offense that opens up the entire playbook. And you just see that by the way we're being able to push the ball down the field more to the other receivers as well.
Yeah, having Josh Reynolds in there has definitely made a difference for the offense, for sure. Except for the first week against Cleveland, that was ugly.
No, but, not right away.
Well, yes, had to adjust, but he definitely. Yeah.
That's just how desperate for the Lions were at receiver that they threw him out there to play the most snaps, like a week after getting signed to the team.
Right.
Yeah, I think he gives Goff good confidence, though. He knows he has something.
Yeah.
And he can run after the catch too. He's been a good addition.
He's also a threat that makes you the safeties have to respect him, that opens up the tight ends and the seam and things like that, which we finally saw great seam passing, which like I think we've been waiting for since like forever. Even Stafford didn't always do that as much as we liked. Like, wow, that was nice to see.
Yeah, Red Dog, I agree with that. I don't know about the Stafford part, but I was waiting for that this year. But throwing out up the seam, I mean, like that's like we have Hockenson. Like, why don't we do that more? Like, right. We finally did it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it wasn't Stafford's fault, Bob. It was more the coordinators we had over the years. We didn't throw it as much as we liked.
Except for Bob Cooter.
No. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Would Jim Bob have called this offensive game that we called on Sunday?
We'd have 10 wins by now.
Hey, that I will say, one of the funniest things, I was dying when Goff did this. It was so boneheaded that at the end of the game when he drops back on that play action, which was a terrible call, by the way, which I'm sure we're going to get to. But when he drops back and then he sidesteps that guy and he's like, okay, he's gone. I'm just going to peruse the field.
Yeah, there's my there, guy. Like, and I'm like, time,
what? The guy's right there. You literally just saw him. Like, he's not gone.
Right.
Like, I was like, what are you doing?
And if you go back and watch some of the other, even like the throws that were under duress, he continues to like do this thing where he doesn't step up in the pocket. He keeps drifting back, and it's impossible for his tackles to make a block.
Yes,
the,
I have an
the
issue.
Tackles do their job, and then he steps into these like in the pressure. Yeah. I'm like, just step up.
Yeah.
A screenshot. I'll have to post it on our social media just to see what I'm talking about, because it's like, just step up. It's right there.
He's definitely got plenty to iron out in his game still. That's for sure.
That's true, but I think Goff is building confidence the last couple of weeks. He's actually playing a lot better. And to see him at the end of the game when he won and running over Campbell, giving him a big hug.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that's a result of Campbell being in his headset? Do you think he's helping his confidence with their whatever's going on in the field, being back and forth?
Probably.
I got to think that was Campbell's mission.
Off, like, cause he's in the ear and the helmet, like 222, like blue drag to the left. Hey buddy, you're the best.
Exactly.
Love you,
I mean, the sheer relief that everyone on that sideline felt at the end of that game.
Oh my god!
So much to all of them. And the locker room, like the bear hugs of four.
Oh, it was just great.
It felt like a Super Bowl victory.
It did. It was, but we needed this so bad. 364 days without a win. You can't.
Oh, it's brutal.
For a full year.
Yeah, you're right.
Couldn't take it to a whole year. No
way. That was funny. Goff running off the field, though, and he was going right for Campbell, but someone else jumped in the way, like the body bump him. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, was that right?
Trying to, like, avoid him because he got right to Campbell. I don't know if anyone saw that. I just thought it was kind of funny.
That's funny. I didn't notice that.
I think that was cool, though. I mean, the way this team's been fighting week after week, I mean, they've been coming up short, but
yeah,
the team's really fighting hard. And so when they finally got the victory, the excitement was palpable. I mean, it was everywhere. Yeah. I mean, we're at home here. We're jumping up and down, high-fiving for a one-win team. And it was so
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fun.
It was so good.
It was elation. It was pure elation. It was,
good. I don't think I said this on the pod yet, but I literally got congratulation texts from people. Like, I had accomplished something. Like, I had won an Oscar or something. Like, congrats, man. We knew you could do it. We're so happy for you, boys. Like, thank you. We worked really hard on this win.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And we did.
Yeah, I got a lot of the similar things. That's funny.
It is funny. Yeah, I did too. Believe me.
Lions are back. I mean, we're back. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The Detroit Lions have arrived.
Here. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, let's continue digging into some of the things that work. Especially, I mean, we got to talk about the offense just in terms of things that worked. Jamal Williams did step up in this game, 17 carries for 71 yards, ran pretty hard. His 11, his longest run of the game was 11 yards, but he averaged over 4 yards a carry in this game.
Yeah, very effective. That was first downs. All those 4 yard first downs were just grinding. That made us keep the ball and made all those drives and all the passes so much more effective.
Yeah, definitely. But
didn't you guys love that? I mean, the names that were getting called out in this game were like Jacobs, Barnes, St. Brown. I mean, all these like young guys. I'm like, these are the guys that are going to be the future. You know, if they're starting to make plays and start to win, you know, when we start to add talent, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited.
Jacobs is a freaking stud at the line of scrimmage, man. Any of those short plays, he flies out there. He's making tackles. He is unbelievable, man. His decision making and his reaction to those short passes and stuff, just unbelievably.
They never learned their lesson. They kept trying it on him and never worked.
He's dominant.
Right, and it was really effective against a team like Minnesota that likes to run a lot of screens, especially at the wide receiver position. They were unable to block him on the outside for the most part.
I'm telling you, that guy's what a find. That's all I can say, or coaching him up right or whatever it is, but he is just playing lights out, man. He's playing so good. He's fun to watch.
Yeah,
absolutely. But on the offensive things, sticking on that side for a moment. I mean, we talked about the offensive line, but this is definitely their best collective effort of the season as far as the offensive line goes. Especially guys like Jonah Jackson and Big V really stepping up in this game, playing probably their best football. I will say this: I mean, the Vikings were really depleted on defense. It was almost a defense full of backups, but regardless,
but we're pretty depleted too. I mean, that's everywhere. You can't go by that. I mean,
no.
Lions have
so many injuries. That's what I'm saying. I'm just noting it. But
they kept a clean
pocket.
This defense
has given up like 30 points in a bunch of games. But
still
a great effort by them in this one. And we got to, of course, call out Amon-Ra St. Brown. This is
stellar.
Then that's what you love to see, especially
catching.
I don't know what the Vikings are doing. They just let
him
walk right into the onto the goal line to catch the ball.
That was crazy. I still can't believe that route at the end where they score.
Apparently, they've been practicing that like every week since training camp.
Yeah,
that's
wow. I love.
And then the last couple of weeks, it changed to St. Brown being the guy getting it.
You know, I love that. I love to hear that. Like that's because that's in like the perfect thing of what. The epitome of what just happened this week. They learned all the learning they finally have done. It's accumulated. They finally learned how to get a win, you know, like, and that's going to pay dividends. I bet they go on a streak after this. I wouldn't be surprised. They got a taste for it. Now they know what it takes.
Yeah.
Like Campbell said it himself. Now we know what it takes. Like now we've learned what goes in, what you have to do at the minimum it takes to get a win in this league. And now, you know, now it's about getting better at doing that. But now that they know that, I think this team is going to got a taste and they're hungry and they're not going to want to lose this feeling.
Sorry, you draft pick people out there. Yeah, we might win a couple more games.
Yeah.
Blow your little draft.
You can follow the
season of 4.5. I had 4.5 over.
I did too. I put money on that too. I know.
They're not hitting that over.
Hey, but did you see Campbell in the locker room though? His honesty is really refreshing. I mean, he says, "Hey, defense, we put you in some bad spots, man. We put you in some bad spots on there. But you know what? You responded." And he's admitting all this stuff. Like, yeah, we did some stupid stuff.
And he's like, offense
rose above it anyway.
You guys came out when it mattered most.
They did. I mean,
yeah. It was great.
He was so jazzed. They're all dancing in the locker room. Like, people made fun of them on Twitter, like, oh, like, act like you've done it before, but they needed this so badly.
It's weird.
Absolutely.
Every time I watch it, like, someone starts cutting onions nearby. It's like a weird phenomenon. I don't know.
I watched with the radio call for the last touchdown was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Miller. Really good.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
He is so excited, like, so ecstatic. Like, he was just all Lions fans in that moment. If anyone hasn't heard it that listens to this pod, I highly recommend finding
it. It was really cool, the Lions, to get this win, too, with everything going on in Oxford and stuff. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
for sure. Yes.
Well, great week for Michigan sports in general with the Oxford.
Yeah, how about it?
Go Blue!
Mm-hmm. Hopefully that can lighten the day of people who've had some serious tragedy.
Before we move on to the defense side, just a couple other things I want to note. I thought the biggest play of that drive for Lions at the end there was Igwebuke catching it over the middle and getting out of bounds.
Yes, all the way absolutely. To
the other side. Yeah, if he doesn't get that, that takes like another 20 seconds. That was clock and a fourth down.
That was elite, man. He is. Oh, I'm loving everything about this kid. He is impressing at every single turn.
Yeah, he's definitely improved. I think as the season's gone on, for sure. And cementing a place on the roster in the future. And Jamar Jefferson, we only saw him a little bit in this game, not too much. I think his pass protection leaves a lot to be desired. I think that's why we don't see him out there as much yet. But Jamal Williams continues to look really good in pass protection.
Yeah.
But Brock Wright, it was good to see him out there doing some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Tutty.
We've all been drinking the Kool-Aid on him for his roster spot. So glad because he was cut. Now he's back, and then he really nice touchdown in this game. Although a really really nice throw, just all around really good play.
Mm-hmm. Right there.
But Evan Brown, another good game out of him. As far as a backup center goes, I don't think you can ask for too much more. We've got a
this
lot
kid's
of
making money for himself this year. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
He looks like a starter.
Well, you can ask him not to get COVID because he apparently is on the COVID list now. So he's questionable.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Great.
But it could depend, though, because they don't know if he got his shot or not. If he had a shot, all he needs is two
was
negative
tests. Was he immunized?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like
they don't.
Rodgers?
They don't seem to know. It's like
the
a
question
secret.
Mark. They're not real.
Anyway, but he can have two negative tests within 24 hours before Sunday, and he'll be able to play. That's if.
Let's
he
hope
got
that
his
works
shot.
Out.
If he didn't get a shot, then there's got 10 days and all that other stuff. So
he
probably won't play Sunday.
So let's go to the defensive side for a minute. So you mentioned Jacobs. He definitely stood out in this game.
He was a beast. Those open field tackles were like critical. Early on in the game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They just stifled the offense.
And then, of course, Charles Harris, I think, was the player of the game defensively for this team, just making some big plays, continues to really just step up when this defense needed a pass.
That fumble in the second quarter was awesome.
Yeah.
From Charles Harris.
Absolutely. The fumble that he caused near the end of the first half got us in the field goal.
You guys think we invest in keeping him? Oh, sorry. I didn't mean. Do you think we invest in keeping him?
I agree.
What you go for?
I think they have to.
I think they make an offer, but they're not going to bust the bank.
Like, especially if we get especially if we draft someone like Thibodeau or Hutchinson with the first pick, are we going to want a guy? Are we going to break the bank to keep a veteran?
But
he's a proven veteran.
But it's breaking the bank, though. I mean,
I think we signed for $4.5 million this year. He won't probably go for more than. If anything,
if he hits double digit sacks, though, I mean, he's proven himself. If you hit double digit sacks, that's a payday.
But he also, this is the only year he's done it. So,
true.
I think there's still a bit of caution with a guy.
I think it's how he's been used, though. So, We'll see. True. I hope we retain him though, and put him across from whoever we draft.
But it has to be at the right
price. We do.
You can't pay him.
But
there's no way. Seven or eight. I think would be too much.
Yeah. Outside of that, though, I thought our linebackers played decently well. Like Derek Barnes on the 2-point stuff, I think was awesome to see.
Yes.
And I thought Anzalone didn't play a bad game either. I thought
he played on that Anzalone on the pass defense on second down. That was huge.
Yeah.
On the goal line.
It's nice seeing some guys step on the goal line. He probably moments.
A quicker step. That's a pick six right there on that goal
line. Speaking of pick sixes or just picks in general, freaking Lucky Charms blew it. It threw it right to his chest.
Yeah. That was tough.
Aurier, man. He had it right in his He picked up the streak going.
You got the Patricia coaching style. You know, Anzalone makes a great play to stop the pass, and you're like, well, you could have picked it if you did this, you know.
Yeah. Damn, you say one more step. he continues to have an up and he was just he was okay in this game, but that wasn't nice playing the goal line at least. But he is out there so much. It's hard to be top of your effort when you're out there for 76 straight plays as a linebacker.
He's a baller though, man. Yeah, you're right. He's not perfect, but he's a player and he makes plays. He gives some up, but he gets his generally.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, I don't know if anybody else noticed too, but the youth seems to be taking over on the D line a little bit.
Yes.
AK played a bunch
first
of
sack.
Him and McNeil played most of the time.
48. McNeil.
I see McNeil finally get some reps. Like I feel like
got away with that face mask. Thank God.
Yeah, we've McNeil earned that face mask after all these.
This
years.
Is a pretty bad game for McNeil. If you go back and watch it, it's not good.
Well, no. I mean, you got to think of it this way, though. We're now a one-win team. You can let him figure it out. I'm not devastated to see him out there.
He had moments. So
we're no longer part of that. Pitiful no-win team group.
If you just look at December,
we're big spenders now. We're somebody.
Lost the game in December.
If you go back and watch though, McNeil and the run game is pretty frustrating.
Struggled
because he gets blown back 2 or 3 yards consistently in this game. So it was, and then it's just like if he just keeps this guy even at the line that they probably stop some of these bigger runs that they allowed in this game.
Yeah, I'm curious. How do you guys think this game would have gone if DeAndre Swift had been healthy and played?
We'd have won by 20.
I don't know. Yeah, we might have scored more. Honestly,
do you think we would have won by more? Do you think that would have
changed
the dynamic of the whole game?
I don't know. Well, I mean, Goff is.
It's just a question. I'm just
early in the season. He seemed to be focused on Swift and Hockenson. This game, he spread the ball around, so maybe that did help him a little bit. At least in the short term.
If they could spread it with Swift still in there, I think he offers them the best chance. Like he's just more explosive than what you get with Williams and offers that big play opportunity.
Right.
Yeah. You guys, I had one observation during the game. I don't know if you guys think this at all, but the Vikings kind of reminded me of the Lions of like a few years ago. They have like a great receiver. You know, they got a lot of talent and then they lose in heartbreaking fashion when they could have won. All these games, they've come really
all
close.
All these games. Oh, yeah.
And like you know, they could very well be like a 8-9 win team, 8-win team, or whatever. But they're not. So it just kind of reminded me of earlier Lions teams. But
yeah, I see there's resemblance there for sure. You know, it's funny about this team though that I'm reading stuff from Chicago and Minnesota, and they're already talking about taking a wrecking ball to their teams. So if you look at, I know their records are better than ours or anything, but we're sort of a step up on them as far as the near future.
We're
goes.
Trending, baby.
This is a really important year for us and what they've done and letting all these kids play and we're finding players that, you know, I mean, we're really having some luck finding some players, another draft or two. And we're going to be right up there, man. We're going to be.
You're right, Jay. We already swung the wrecking ball. So we're like a year.
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I honestly think a few key picks and free agent moves and we could be a really competitive team next year.
I'm really happy with Brad Holmes' draft class so far.
Yes.
I'm very happy. Like, my confidence in him is higher than it's ever been right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know out there, not everyone's doing great, but overall.
No, and you got to include those undrafted free agents that they picked.
Oh, I mean,
it's unreal what they're doing. Mm-hmm.
I mean, is the coaching just
be like fourth, fifth round picks? It's crazy.
Is this just miraculous, like magic level coaching, or is this like just good eye for talent. What is this? Like, just a combination of all?
I think it's a robust analytics program combined with scouting and
good. I think it also speaks to communication that they preach in the organization and collaboration from the top down. Because it seemed like Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn weren't on the same page as some of those draft picks and some of the coaches. And like, for instance, wanted, who was the 1D tackle that they really wanted? I can't remember. He went to the Panthers. I can't remember for the life of me the name right now.
Oh,
But
wait, who went to
Auburn? A D tackle out of Auburn, but I can't remember the name.
Fairley?
Brown? Brown?
Nick Fairley. I liked Nick Fairley.
No, Nick Fairley. We drafted him. No.
Oh, wait, who are you talking about?
I don't know. I can't remember the name. That's what I'm saying. Anyways, there was a D tackle that he wanted. Then we end up going a different direction.
Oh, we got Cuda instead. Derek Brown.
That's it. Derek Brown.
I said Brown.
Thanks, Kid J. Oh,
Derek Brown instead of Okuda was the call there, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. But God, but the lines of preach communication top down from the day one, and collaboration from all the ranks. And I think when you have that kind of collaboration, you can find the players that match Aaron Glenn's vision for the defense with the scouting, and then they get in a room and decide on the best choice. And I didn't always get that sense from the previous regime necessarily. Like getting a guy like
definitely not.
For instance, is definitely a guy that Aaron Glenn wanted that building for his
defense. Yeah. Pay Aaron Glenn. I'm saying it right now though. Pay him a lot more money. Keep him for a couple more years. Make sure we still have him for like two more years at least.
Is Dan Campbell calling the offense going forward? I mean,
we'll see. We still got a lot of season left here to figure out more about that.
Points in a game. The sky's the
hold on. Let's not put the cart before the horse. What happened in the fourth quarter there when we had to get 1 yard? And what did we call?
Twice in this game, fourth and one.
But that play action call was exceptionally bad.
I like going for it though.
I like going for it, but that play, what we're talking about, the actual call, it's play action. Like, I mean, Goff didn't execute it great either, but it was a bad call.
This is the thing that separates Tom Brady, I think, from a lot of these other quarterbacks too. I think it's a little underrated. When it's fourth and one, he can get that quarterback sneak easier than anybody.
The Lions have to run it this year. They haven't won quarterback sneak, so
we did in this game. The first fourth down conversion was fourth and one. It was like a long one.
It was like almost two. And then Goff does a quarterback.
That was the first one, though. And I was happy. I liked the call. They just didn't execute it well.
But, I would give that to Williams or something. I'll ram it down the middle.
Can I bring up the fourth down call in the fourth quarter again? Ironically, even the way it turned out, probably won the game for us, oddly enough, because if we'd have punted there and Minnesota had the ball, they could have, done a real long drive down the field, ran the clock out. As it turned out, they had a very short field, and when they scored, there was still a minute 50 left on the clock, and which allowed us to have that drive. So, ironically, even though it failed,
We could have stopped that too if we had punted, but it put us
in position to have a razor thin, barely odds beating drive for sure.
Yeah, it's just funny how it turned out that
apparently
way.
The analytics said go for it there too.
But you know what? Yeah, we get that first down there and we get a long drive and we go down and score and we don't get, like the heart palpitations we had.
Everyone agreed that it was right to go on four and on fourth. I think just the play action play call was
that. Yeah, that's all I'm saying for sure. Yeah. I'm not questioning the decision, just the call.
In terms of Dan Campbell and his play calling, I still think in an ideal world, you find a new offensive coordinator.
Right. No,
who calls plays. But
I'm not sure.
It's nice. I'm pretty sure. I mean,
I'm not.
I don't know.
One good game has blinded some people to frustration.
Blinded? It's two. He's only done it for a few games. He has like a last rest of the season.
Yeah.
Let's see how he grows and develops. If he's not doing good, what if he starts turning lighting the league on fire or something? We don't know what's going to happen. Let's just see.
That's just not why we brought him in.
He's already passed Lombardi. And he's slightly past Cooter.
No. Come on.
He's definitely past Lombardi.
He's growing exponentially like a giant.
I mean, I think he might pass Lombardi.
I think he's next to Jim Bob Cooter right now. He's at the same stage Jim Bob Cooter was when he took the interim spot.
Shame on you.
But this is crazy. I mean, he had a good game offensively, but come on, you can't.
Why are you so determined to shut it down, this project? Like, let's see what happens.
I'm not saying shut it down, but this sudden idea that he's this offensive god, when that's never why we brought him.
Oh, in. Offensive god! What are you talking about? All we're saying is he might be able to do a good job if he figures this thing out.
When they plan this entire thing in an ideal world, you have an offensive play caller who calls plays that is not Dan Campbell.
Why is that an ideal world?
Yeah, why? In an ideal world, we'd win a Super Bowl no matter what it looks like.
World, both your teeth back, man.
In an ideal world, would work.
And in an ideal world, we have a coach quarterback who plays and can throw the ball 90 yards. But
yeah,
you guys are crazy.
Two receivers, 10 feet tall.
You have one game over 20 points. And
doesn't have to jump.
Losing your minds.
Like, no, but if they start winning,
our minds.
20 points. Look, like, you're so
over exaggerating.
Wait till we actually get some weapons on offense. You know, then who knows?
Yes. Yeah, like, no kidding.
I think you guys are overhyping this whole Campbell play call.
I think you're just going the other way, incredibly strong. Like,
Connie, you need to drink the blue Kool-Aid on Campbell.
Yeah, seriously.
Now I kind of hope Campbell keeps it just to see.
Yeah. Well, you know what,
Connor? I actually do agree in terms of I think they get another play caller for next year. I don't think Dan Campbell keeps
that's
it. But it would be interesting to see the rest of the season.
No, I think he should continue calling plays this season so he gets good at it. But I'm just saying, I think for the Lions, ideally, they find a new offensive coordinator, maybe a more forward-thinking one that, like, takes over play calling again. I think that was what they originally envisioned when they brought in Anthony Lynn, which didn't work out. But
yeah,
I think that's okay.
Call anything on forward-thinking, unfortunately.
I think their vision is whatever works.
And I agree.
If Campbell grows into this spot, I have no problem with him being the guy.
Yeah, if he turns into Sean Payton, then he's been groomed by Sean Payton, so if he can get to that level, that'd be a
big thing. Sure. I just, like, there's no way you can convince me that preseason they're like, we have plans for Dan Campbell to take over halfway through the season.
If the offense greatly
improved. Oh, the plan's been diverted a little bit.
Yeah, I would entertain the idea of him maybe staying on, but right now I would think he just finished out the season and they find someone else to take over next year.
Honestly, yeah, I wouldn't be mad if they kept Anthony Lynn on and him and Campbell continued to develop this offense together as they add more talent to it, because I think they've had their struggles this year in the way they've called it, but I don't really want to teach a whole new offense next year to the team and make everyone go through the same growing pains again. Let's let these guys continue to grow together and learn what works and learn what doesn't, because they've already shown a propensity to grow, because that's what this win was. This wasn't like a fluky win. This was a win that was a culmination of all the beatings they've taken up to this point. So,
Jared
Goff
is a quarterback next year, too. I think that's because of his contract.
Probably. I mean, if they keep building this rapport between him and Campbell and they keep building his confidence, I think it's a very strong possibility that he could go for a while and be very successful.
Do you guys think Lynn will want to come back? You know, that pulled the play calling from him?
Zach, it's not one good game. This is a game that's. I'm sorry, Bob. I didn't hear your question because I was answering to Z. It's not one game. We've seen what he can do in the past. We've seen what his success can be when he's operating at his optimal, and when he took his team to the Super Bowl. So we know what he's capable of. This is what we've been working towards: bringing him out of his shell and getting him to trust his arm down the field and his decision making. So, I mean, yeah, this is one good game. I'm not saying we're guaranteed to suddenly be great, but going forward, the possibility, I think, is very real that he could develop into a true starter.
Against a better secondary, I'd be curious to see how he does, because the Vikings are...
We'll get those chances.
Took one game for Rudd Dog to get right back on the Jared Goff train.
Yeah.
I'm still fine if we draft... But I mean, come on, we're finally seeing the results, though. You can't be like, oh, you keep getting the same results. Things have been so bad. Like, I want to see improvement. He improves, then it's like, oh, well, he's still not the answer. And maybe he's not, but I'm just saying, he at least is showing the improvement that I wanted to see finally. That's all. I'm not sold. He could still suck. But he's got, it's a step in the right direction.
An impassioned speech by Robert
Lower. Yeah. Sorry. Bob, let's hear, what was your question again? I'm sorry.
No, I was talking about Anthony Lynn. They pulled the play calling from him. You're saying we could keep that going next year. I'm wondering, do you think Anthony Lynn will want to come back?
in that capacity.
No chance. Probably not.
No.
Probably not.
Anthony Lynn is gone after this season, I think.
Unless no one wants him. I mean, I don't know. You know, he doesn't seem to be.
Or if he wants to keep coaching. Demand.
And you know, one advantage, though, of Dan Campbell taking over the play calling now is he can keep the same concepts that Lynn installed and then build on it with a new offensive coordinator if, like, he wants to keep calling it or, you know what I mean? But he now that he knows how to call this offense and knows it and it's installed, it doesn't have to necessarily be a full rebuild on offense next year if we bring someone new in.
But, yeah, but hey, along those lines, too, that I just want to say about Campbell taking over the play calling shows how much this guy wants to win. I mean, he's not worried about hurting anybody's feelings or whatever. He's just, he didn't like the way it was going. He thought he could do better. So he took the reins. I mean, just that's what a good
he's done better.
Does. So, you know, he's always trying. He's probing. He's, you know, exploring different ways. This guy just wants to win. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say about that, but
I think you're right. And you know, to that point though, I think that's a good point, UJ. And that goes back to Connor's point is that I think if Dan Campbell feels that he's not the best option, I think he'll gladly do what Connor's saying and want to find the better option. If he feels like he can keep doing this and do it at a high level, then he'll keep it. But I don't think he would do it just because he wants to do it. I think he would put the team first and bring in a pro.
He's not a big ego guy. I mean, he's going to do what he thinks is best for the team, like over what he is good for himself.
But if he's confident going forward, I trust him. I wouldn't mind seeing him do it still, but
he's kind of like Rip on Yellowstone. You know, it's about the ranch, man. You guys, it's all about the ranch. All right. You guys forget that sometimes, you know, it's not about you. It's about the ranch comes first.
Everyone gets that reference.
How many listeners are going to get that?
There's people
out
there that haven't watched Yellowstone yet. Oh my god!
Oh my goodness!
Anyway,
I've not seen Yellowstone.
Yeah, boy. Never mind.
Guys, it's about the ranch.
Well, with this win, you guys, you realize that the Lions win another game, they drop down to 3 in the draft order.
We're a half fine game. With it. We have a half game lead on the top pick.
That's fine.
Whatever. No, I'm just noting it.
As of recording this podcast, Kayvon Thibodeau has declared for the draft, and he will not be playing in a bowl game.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, breaking news on the
blue. We have seen the last of him, so whatever you feel about him is what you've seen it.
You know, it would be interesting if we fall to 2 in the draft, if that's possible, because that would take Kayvon Thibodeau out of the equation that we would get
Hutchinson. Hutchinson could go on.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I have a feeling that's not going to happen.
You know, he's in the top 4 for the Heisman.
UJ, why would you want like an elaborate scenario where we fall the 2nd to get the guy you want instead of just taking the guy you want at 1?
I don't know.
I hope we fall at 2 so maybe the other guy can.
No, because there's always going to be a question with Thibodeau and Hutchinson.
True.
And Thibodeau, it seems the more physical freak and all that stuff. And that's why he'll probably have the higher ceiling in people's minds. And
I can see that. Yeah,
I think the pressure would be to take him over Hutchinson. That's all.
Hutchinson would be such a great locker room guy, though. I think he would like.
I agree.
His production quiets so many concerns. I mean, like when you produce like that, and it's not like he's like an overachiever. The guy has the build of a freak himself, so he's a freak in his own right.
Yeah.
So I have no problem with we pulling the trigger on a guy like that.
Yeah, we act like he's some like hobo off the street that works hard. Like he actually is. he is a beast, and he's got great hands and good vision.
He's a Marinelli type of D lineman. He just pounds the rock with the chisel and the pickaxe.
Yeah. Hammer it home.
That was UJ playing college ball. He's like a hobo off the street.
That was me.
He did well in college. You know?
Yeah, I did well for a
hobo. The hobo defensive system.
Well, I remember getting off the train that day at camp, first day at camp.
Five
games out of the seventh seed.
Yeah.
Oh, so many other things have to happen, though. Like a thousand other results have to happen.
Hey, the only thing we control is the wins.
I don't see the X on,
I saw that
on the standings yet. We haven't been officially eliminated.
So. The Marvel Infinity Stone had higher odds than the Lions do to make the playoffs. Hmm.
Hey, Big Z, do you mind if I switch the topic here? Because I think we covered the defense or whatever. But special teams.
Yes.
Continue to be excellent. Fox is a great punter. And I don't know if you guys saw this statistic. I don't know if it's changed this weekend, but going into this past weekend, This is the first year since 1960 that there was no punt returns for a touchdown. And the longest punt return in the NFL was Khalif Raymond's 58-yard punt return against the Steelers.
Oh, wow, nice.
Thought that was kind of interesting.
That is.
Yeah. But, you know, Raymond's a good guy, like, to highlight, Bob. I think he's quietly had a good season for us.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been nice.
Yeah, but our special teams do excel. We've been
like a good like fourth receiver in like a complete offense. I feel Raymond like a good little puzzle piece to move around.
Yeah.
You don't want him to be your top guy for sure, but
no,
good puzzle piece.
He's a solid two, I think.
But our special teams have been solid. Our coverage units. And
how about Riley Patterson,
consistent kicker?
Yeah.
Really, he looked really good in this game.
Yeah.
You think if he was in the Steelers game, he would have won that game?
Might have.
He couldn't have produced a worse kick.
We would have two wins, and we would be drafting third right now if we had had it from the beginning.
And we'd only be four games out of the playoffs instead of five.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, I want to see him kick the rest of the way. He was a good kicker in college. Signed off the Patriots practice squad, I believe. So, you know, some Patriots ties still on this team.
Mm. Yeah.
Not completely erased. Matt Patricia said, here, I got a good one for you. He wanted to give us you know, some love a little bit.
Yeah, I bet.
All right, gentlemen. So I think that is going to wrap it up here. But, man, you know, it's just good to come on here and talk about a win.
Feels good, man.
Hopefully we have some more to talk about over the coming years on this podcast.
I'm telling you, Streak, boys, this team wants to win, and they know how to do it now. There's more coming. More coming. Mark my words.
All right. Absolutely.
Exciting times in Detroit with a win.
I love how we're getting into this like high end like meta analysis of how they've built this organization. It's like you're like doing like this documentary of like a winning organization. It's like we just got our first win after like going on a 12 games losing streak. Right. This should be paid attention to. But it's all right because this is for posterity because we're going to look back and this is how they're going to document the success of the journey to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Absolutely. So the Lions are traveling to Denver, always a tough place to play on the road.
Denver sucks.
We'll be talking about that game. I believe they're 7.5-point underdogs right now.
Again?
Lions, one of the best teams against the spread in the NFL.
8 points is what I saw last.
Yeah. Next week, you can take the money line.
I think the Lions are 8-4 against the spread this year. So if you've been betting on the Lions, you've been making money, baby.
I like how like our defense next week. I think they're going to have a good game against the Broncos.
But you guys, you know, everybody said the Lions can do it, but we predicted on this podcast that they were going to win this week.
We did.
Congrats to all of us, by the way.
Now, we predicted the first 10 weeks, but we don't talk about that.
We only track December onward on this podcast.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're all 1-0-0.
Hey, did you guys see, I don't know if we talked about this last week, but Darius Slay's tweet about the Cowboys? He's like, I would never want to play for them, those cheaters. And he talked about the game. The playoffs.
I'm glad you never let it go because I've never let it go. Awesome. I've never let that game go.
I thought that was awesome.
Love it. All right, gentlemen. So just to wrap this up, Instagram, Drinking a Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on the big victory. Where you think what this means for the trajectory of the team going forward. If I didn't mention, I'd mention it, you know, it doesn't hurt twice. At Drinking Lions, at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on Instagram, at Drinking Lions on Twitter. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, please download, please leave a review, and please subscribe to this podcast. We greatly appreciate that. That is for certain. Other than that, thanks to our producer, Kid Jay. And thank you to the Detroit Lions for getting a victory for us. And of course, yes, thank you, Red Dog. SidelineReport.com. We're the official podcaster there now. So, our podcast is embedded on there. That's another place you can go listen, but also check out that content because it's good. But other than that, thank you everybody for listening. Enjoy it's a great start to your week when the Lions are coming off a victory. Such a different vibe. I slept better last night.
Good, I know.
Stars in alignment.
Victory Mondays have always hit very well for me.
Right, especially they're rare this year.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
My
when
God.
It's your first one in a year, it hits especially hard.
Oh, yeah. All right, gentlemen. So that's going to wrap it up. Thank you for listening. And last but not least, as always,
go!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain, a Lions victory.